It's a big enough umbrella. I want my MT. Okay. Right. URLradio.net. Jim Walsh, name of the show is Jive Talkin'. Should you monitor the stuff that your kids are looking at on the internet? Are you concerned about that? And another question to go right with that, if you're going to do that, shouldn't you tell them about it? Shouldn't you say, hey, I'm going to be keeping an eye on the stuff that you're looking at on the net. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the stuff that you're sending and receiving via cell phone. I do this because I love you. But should you do that? That's a question.
Doesn't that sort of defeat the purpose?
Well,
you want to catch him doing bad things.
But that's kind of the way
a lot
of, parents think, though.
Yeah.
701-751-0838. Okay, I was never a parent.
No.
I was a stepfather on at least two occasions, which I never really had to do much fathering.
Right.
Certainly not for your son, because
no.
He was already an adult when we met.
Yeah.
Now,
he was in his, 20s?
He was already in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask you, though, because you were a parent.
Yeah.
You are a parent. You're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And when your son was growing up, is this something you would have done if the technology had been available at the time?
Well, no, because basically the way I feel about it is you talk to your kids. You talk to your kids about the dangers.
Yeah.
It's important to me to foster trust.
Okay.
Between a parent and a child, you know? And if my child finds out surreptitiously that I'm going behind his back,
yeah,
and I'm checking everything that's going on in his life without giving him the opportunity to come to me and tell me what's going on, guess what? He's not going to trust me.
Yeah.
You know, and trust is really big in my household. Very, very big. I want my kid to come to me, and I encouraged him to come to me with any problems so that we could discuss them and to use our value and belief systems to teach him how to handle these things.
Yeah. You see, what I would do, I would start by giving the kid a chance to earn the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I would say, I'm not going to monitor you. If you start getting in trouble on a regular basis, then I might reconsider that notion.
Right.
But no, initially, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see where it goes. If you continue to not get in trouble,
right,
then we're cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, the parent has the right to do that, to monitor the kid. But I'm not sure it's a good idea to just monitor the kid without any reason to do so.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, if you have a reason to do so,
yeah,
then obviously there's very little discipline in the household.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you and I both know cases of kids who were disciplined, if anything, too severely when they were growing up, and they got in trouble anyway, just because that's, I don't know, maybe
they rebelled.
Maybe it's a backlash.
Yeah, they rebelled. But still, you know, I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
To teach my child to live with the consequences of his actions. So yeah, if he's texting while he's driving,
yeah,
if he's on his cell phone while he's driving and he gets into an accident, you know, the first consequence is, guess what, bub? No more cell phone for
no
a
more
while.
Cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna lose the cell phone.
Yeah.
If he's online and he's inappropriately emailing or chatting or things like this online,
yeah,
the next thing is, guess what, bub? No more internet for a while.
Yeah.
Then it'll be closely monitored.
And if he gets in trouble at school and the teacher takes away the cell phone, guess what? I'd be totally supportive of the teacher.
Yeah, I would too.
Because a lot of parents aren't.
I would too.
A lot of parents, their kids get in trouble at school, and what happens? They immediately assume, well, what are you picking on my kid for?
Well, yeah, and they'll say, I'm supposed to discipline my child at home, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
I still question the amount of discipline a child is getting at home if the parents are immediately rushing and stopping whatever discipline they get at school. I mean, it's back to let's have some respect for authority.
Of course, when I was a kid, the message from my parents was, your teachers have our full blessing to knock you upside the head if they need
exactly
to do so.
Well, you went to Catholic school for a while, didn't
first
you?
First couple of years.
Yeah. And so you had the nuns with the rulers and the wrapping of the knuckles, and which
yeah.
I don't I don't approve of.
Yeah, because I'm old enough that I actually went to through the Catholic school system before Vatican II, which was the big council where they updated and liberalized a lot of things in the mid-60s. I went to Catholic school before that when things were still, where they were still heavily into corporal punishment and all that business.
Which I don't
Abused. I mean, there was never any sexual, I was never, you know, no priest ever came on to me. And, you know, this, the corporal punishment was mainly just like thwacking your hand with a ruler. No big deal. But still, when you're a kid, stuff like that can be pretty nasty.
Well, yeah, it can be demoralizing, basically, and it can affect your self-esteem if it happens a lot, yeah.
But the point was, again, I was not the kind of kid who got into a lot of trouble. I got in trouble because I didn't do my homework.
Right.
And I went through a period for a while where I had to write down my homework assignment, and then the teacher had to sign off on it every day before I went home.
Okay.
To make sure I knew what the assignment was.
Now, see, that's a consequence. And,
yeah.
And that's a better way to teach, because...
Yeah.
You know, if basically you're hitting your children every time they do something wrong, they're not learning what to do right.
Yeah.
You know, they're just saying, okay, every time I do this, at least I have mommy's attention or daddy's attention. And it's the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the message should be, this is what you did wrong, and this is how we're going to correct it.
Yeah.
And it's not corporal. It's consequences of your actions. You didn't get your homework done, so guess what? You have to, instead of going out and playing with your friends, you have to stay in every night and make sure your homework is done.
Yeah.
That's a natural consequence.
Of course, no child's homework is ever completely done in the literal sense.
No. No, but as long as you're trying.
Yeah.
You know, as long as well, the thing that bothered me, though, was my mother. I was in, I think it was third grade, and we were learning our multiplication tables.
Right.
And she actually kept me in for the summer, during summer, to learn my multiplication tables.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can see keeping a child in for an hour, half an hour to an hour. And to me, it's more fun to, like, take your kid into the kitchen. You want them to learn multiplication tables?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. You take them into the kitchen, and you have them help you bake a cake.
Okay.
Because you're going to be using half cups, quarter cups, eighth cups.
Right.
And you have them use their multiplication tables to try to figure this stuff out, you know. So if we're going to bake a cake for 20 people, how much flour do we use?
Right.
If we're going to bake a cake, you know, for this or that, how much of this do we use?
That's very clever.
That's a fun way to teach.
And it gives you the applied math angle.
Exactly.
See, that's where I get hung up with my math homework at college, is I'm okay with the theoretical stuff, with the formulas, but when they try to do what's called applied math, where they do word problems, you know, like Fred wants to choose between this bank over here, which offers X amount in compound interest, and this bank over here with Y amount in compound interest, how fast do the trains have to go before they
bang into each other and kill everybody in the trains,
and
how many firefighters will come to save these survivors? Yeah, right.
Or to bury the survivors.
Exactly.
You don't bury the survivors because they survived.
Right.
That's the kind of questions that get me all hung up.
Uh-huh.
So I like that. But Well, anyway, by the way, I have to say this. I did go to summer school once.
You did.
But it was not.
I did too.
But it was not because I was a bad kid. It was the year I had meningitis and I missed like four months of school. No, I missed, it was like October. I missed 3 months of school. Because I had meningitis.
Right. And you had to make it out.
From like mid-October until the first of the year, I was out of it completely. And because of that, they were concerned about my math mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So they had me go to a math tutor. The guy was a professional teacher, but he moonlighted in the summer as a math tutor. And he's a very nice man. I forget his name. But I actually learned a lot from that guy. Mm-hmm. Coaching was great.
Awesome. It's awesome, yeah.
It's fantastic.
So my summer school experience was great, too, because... We actually did stuff outside.
Yeah.
And I remember we had this one thing where we were, well, what class was that? Anyway, we were talking, it must have been social studies. We were talking about the moon.
The moon.
And so,
science?
I think it was science. That's what it was. So we had this like bungee jumping chair so that you could simulate what it was like to walk on the moon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was a lot of fun. So that's what I'm saying is actually teaching your children... It can be a chore. It can be a lot of work. Or by thinking outside the box, it can be fun.
Yeah.
You know, take him into the garage and build something together, a small birdhouse.
Yeah.
Where they have to work out the dimensions on how long is the board that you need to cut. And, you know, how much paint are we going to use?
Yeah.
And, you know, and how big do we need to make the hole so that the bird can get in there?
Yeah.
You know, those are things that, that teach your children how to think. Like you said, applied mathematics, how to think about how these things actually, math works for us in our daily lives.
Yeah. Anyway, back, we were talking about the question of monitoring what your kids watch and hear and see and write on the internet or on the cell phone. And there's all this technology coming out now. I love the fact that the people who make tasers have come out with all these apps and all this technology that the parents can use to monitor what their kids are doing on the internet, can stop them from texting while they're driving.
Which is a good idea.
I like that, yeah. That's it makes the phone not work for the kid while he's driving.
I can stop them from texting while driving. I can give them a dollar and take away their cell phone.
That's true.
I can stop them without it costing me a penny.
Yeah. But hopefully they won't take the dollar and put it toward a disposable cell phone.
Well,
at the open
then when they get in trouble, they can't, you know, they can't call me for help because they sure as heck can't call me on the disposable phone because I'll know.
Not. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
We know back in the day, here's the thing. Back in the day, if a kid flashed their boobs at someone and they took a picture, it was just a matter of how many people had the picture.
Right.
Nowadays, you can put it on the internet, and it's there forever, theoretically.
Exactly, yeah.
It's there forever.
Yeah.
So the sexting is a big concern for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But don't kids understand that stuff?
No. And
actually, a lot of adults don't understand it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying about building trust. I mean, if you spend most of your time instead of snooping on your kids, building a trusting bond with them, then you can sit down and discuss these things and say, look, you know, these things are happening out in the world and I don't want to see you get hurt. I love you. And I'm not telling you this because I'm mom and, you know, and I want to ruin your life and ruin your fun. I want you to be safe.
Talking about parents monitoring their kids' cell phone activity and internet activity, especially with all the newfangled technology you can use to do so, 701-751-0838 here at urlradio.net. I'm Jim.
I'm Lissa.
And here's a question for you. When a kid gets a cell phone, do you agree with this, that the parents should tell their child that they'll be doing spot checks to monitor the activity? See, I'm not sure it's necessary right up front.
No. What I think you should do, though, is lay down ground rules.
Yeah.
Okay. And you say, all right, this is... Well, for starters, parents are giving their children cell phones way too young, in my opinion.
How old are they getting them?
I'm seeing like 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds with cell phones. And that's, I mean, who are they going to call?
9-year-old, yeah.
You know, that's something. And they have video capabilities and they have internet access and all this other stuff. Well, yeah, and what are they going to do behind your back, mom and dad?
Yeah.
You know, hello. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you don't put a piece of technology into a kid's hands unless they know how to use it appropriately, and that's something you have to teach them.
And let's face it, you give a 10-year-old kid a cell phone, they're going to abuse it.
You bet.
Not sexual, well, not with the sex thing necessarily.
Because they don't know any better.
Right.
You know,
they're going to use it too much and run up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like handing a kid a bomb. You know, hand a 10-year-old a bomb, what's going to happen? They're going to blow their arm off, you know? Yeah,
same reason we don't let 10-year-old kids drive.
Exactly.
The exact same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a speeding bullet, you know? And but the main thing is we need to talk to our kids. We need to sit down and say, okay, we're giving you this cell phone. These are the ground rules. Okay, this is primarily to be used in emergencies.
Yeah.
Okay, number one. Number two, you can call your friends. These are the friends you can call.
Okay.
And you can set those up in your phone.
Yeah.
I would do no video capabilities, no internet capabilities to start. It's a basic phone. No texting, nothing like that. It is a basic telephone.
Yeah.
You know, that you take with you for emergencies, to call mom and dad if you need help, and maybe to call a few friends, just a few close friends. But you can control that by, you know, by locking out all of those other capabilities so they
Absolutely.
Can't use it.
Sure.
And then they can't text on the road. They can't, you know, they can sit and talk, but they can't text. And then you teach them, don't talk on your cell phone. When you're on the road, pull over to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, kids are entitled to their little zones of privacy. They need that so they can develop, a sense of responsibility.
Exactly.
I think if you monitor too heavily, then you're going to have other problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're supposed to be training our children to take responsibility for their own actions and to live independently one day.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're constantly following them, constantly monitoring them, how are they supposed to make the mistakes they're going to make in life and learn from them?
Yeah. Well, let's face it, some parents just don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, go back to Columbine. It's been 10 years plus since that happened. But that one kid at Columbine, the one of the killers, he had banned his parents from his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he was building weapons in there.
Yeah.
Now, how clueless do you have to be to have a kid building weapons of destruction
in his bedroom?
Right under your own nose.
I know.
And not know about it.
It's like my kid does. I mean, it's my house. Nobody bans me from his bedroom.
No.
You know, it's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, but again, we're talking about the lack of discipline. We're talking about the lack of communication. We're talking about parents basically oblivious to what their kids are doing until it's too late.
I mean, if the kid is breaking curfew, if the kid has done something to unearn the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
If the kid's breaking curfew, if he's hanging out with the wrong friends, smoking in the bathroom, you know, one of these deals where you walk in the room and all of a sudden he's shutting down the text message on the cell phone.
Yes. Well, that tells you something's wrong right there.
That's the modern day equivalent of the kid going, who are you calling? When the parent picks up the phone. You're not calling the teacher, are you? Not that I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy. The question is, should you be monitoring your kids and what they do on the internet and their cell phones? Lots of cool technology that you can do that, but is it always the right thing? Is it necessarily the right thing?
Right.
701-751-0838. It's urlradio.net. Love to hear from you.